This verse was chosen by myself as a verse which sets the theme of the Ratha Yatra day, and I think it will help you to understand a little bit what was the thought behind choosing this verse before we read it and understand it carefully. I think when we look at Lord Jagannath on the altar, our eyes become enchanted and our heart becomes surprised by this extraordinary form of the Lord, with the big eyes and the big arms, and today the deities are also decorated so nicely with these turban, which is the sign of exquisite dressing, you know, and so on. And obviously we have to ask ourselves the question about the forms of the Lord. Why does the Lord take forms which are so extremely different from each other? Like when you turn around and look at Radha Madan Mohan on the altar of Goloka Dham, you see smiles, loveliness, and so on. And when you go to Lord to the farm in Singhachalam, you see a Lord who has the head of a lion and four arms altogether. Different forms of the Lord are there. Why does the Lord take so many different forms? What is behind this? And you will see that there is a miracle of love behind this, that the Lord takes these forms in order to relate to his different types of devotees. So let us go quickly to that word by word translation. Tvam, unto you, bhakti yoga, in devotional service, paribhavita, being 100% engaged, hrid, of the heart, saroje, on the lotus, ase, you reside, Shutekshita, seen through the ear. Pataha, the path. Nanu, now. Nata, O my Lord. Pungsam, of the devotees. Yat, yat, whichever. Dhyā, by meditating. Te, your. Urugaya, O multi-glorious. Vibhavayanti, they specifically think of. Tat, the very same. Vapuhu, transcendental form. Pranayase, do you manifest? Saranugrahaya, to show your causeless mercy. Translation. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Is there someone who translates in the back? Yes? So can you pass this Bhagavatam? You have one. Good, good, good. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, O knower of the English language, what means pliable?
Bendable.
Acha. So the Lord bends to the devotee in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yeya tamang prapatyante tangs tataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse is a particular, it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of God. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of developing from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees. And by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word Shrutekshita. The Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. So let me summarize what we have heard already so that it is easier for us to follow the rest of the purport with full attention. In the verse, the main statement really was that to a devotee who is 100% engaged in the devotional service and who hears about Krishna, Krishna comes into his heart and he comes in a form in which the devotee thinks of him. And Prabhupada, he said that the Lord is bendable, pliable, he bends towards his devotee in terms of the transcendent and loving service of the devotee. That means in simple terms, revelation according to the mood of service which is performed by the devotee. Huh? You will also see the Lord in a particular form according to your orientation in your devotional service. Now Prabhupada speaks about this, which is a very important theological point, in more detail. It's a beautiful part of the purport, and I think you will derive great benefit for today if you make a little effort to concentrate keenly on what you hear. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. So he, Prabhupada, now says that we all have an attachment which is dormant, which belongs to our constitutional position. This is called the Swarup of the living entity. And our love flows in a certain way to Krishna according to this particular eternal Swarup. Now he will talk about how we can develop this inherent attachment. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. In other words, if you want to see that Lord, to whom you have an eternal, yet forgotten relationship, you have to be an authentic worshipper and not be casual. That means negligent or laissez faire, and so on. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasha savasya yoga maya samavrita. Rather, by yoga maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Namaum Vishnu Padaya, please. Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve, Gauravani Vajarine, Nivisesa Sunyavadi, Asyajare Sarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Go Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do we have sufficient air, or do we feel we need more air? We have enough. This is a very, very wonderful day, my dear devotees. A merciful day, a blessed day, a nice day. And the Bhagavatam text gives us a lot of hope. Hope that if we just continue to hear about Krishna, he will enter through the Shrutekshita, that means the path of hearing, into our heart in the particular form in which we concentrate our devotional practice to. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the first time Jagannath Puri, he had a very wonderful revelation of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole desire in his Krishna consciousness, or the, his whole, I would say better, mood, was simply a loving search for Krishna. Where is Krishna? When he was in Navadvip, he would, especially after his return from Gaya, surprise his devotees by crying so many tears of loving ecstasy, yearning for Krishna. He had worshipped the deity of the Lord, but he needed to give that practice up, because whenever he was doing the deity worship, he was crying and crying and for his Krishna. Oh Krishna, alas Krishna. And he would wet in his cloth. The cloth was all soaked by his tears. And since it is not possible to worship the Lord with salt made dirty clothes, the Lord had to give this up. He couldn't continue his... He was so much in love, so much desiring for his Krishna. He expressed his hankering for Krishna in his 8 verses, the Shikshastakam. He said, Ayinanda tanuya kinkaram patitam vishameva vambudo. My Lord, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Pranavalavi, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. And now kindly lift me up, take me as one of the dust particles back to your lotus feet. And then he said, Yugaitam nimeshena. The whole world, my dear Lord, is empty for me, because I'm missing you so much. It has become a desert. This state is seen when someone is totally grief-stricken upon the absence of the beloved. The life, everything becomes void. It is not of interest. He doesn't even perceive it, and so on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this mood to Jagannath Puri, and there is one particular place on the road which is still there. It's a bridge of, it's called the Atara Nala Bridge, that if you cross it, then as you, let me say like this, you step on the bridge, and then you can look slightly to the right side, and then in the distant you see where the rice fields are, you all of a sudden see a beautiful large temple dome. It's wonderful. You can have the same vision of the temple dome even today, Krishna Chaitanya. You come to that bridge, and then you look, and it looks in the beginning a little hazy, because Jagannath Puri is next to the ocean, and especially in summertime when the sun is quite hot. But even in January, February, when the sun is already heating up, it always looks a little hazy because of the humidity. Mahaprabhu visited the first time, it was February, March, around this time he visited Jagannath Puri for the first time. Early spring, you could say. So he must have had a glance on the temple, like we all can have, and he saw this beautiful looming tower. It's a huge, huge tower, which is constructed in the architecture of a, it's a very interesting architecture. You know, take a lotus flower and bend the petals up and then hold it. Then you have the shape of the Sriji Mandir, or the Sri Mandir, the temple of Lord Jagannath. The idea of this architecture is just like you see the beautiful pollen inside the lotus flower when it is opened, you also see the mystery of the Lord when the temple, when he opens the darshan for you. That's the idea of this beautiful architecture. So Mahaprabhu saw this, and he knew my Lord is inside this lotus flower of the temple waiting for me. And in this great mood of where is my Krishna, he looked at the temple, and do you know what he saw at that time? The Lord appeared on the top of the temple. Can you imagine, O hearers of philosophy, in what form he imagined? He came. Did he come as Lord Jagannath the way we see him? No. Because the Lord will reveal himself according to how the worshipper will see him. So, Krishna, in his sapphire blue form, appeared on the top of the dome, on the top of the lotus, and looked at Lord Chaitanya with a bewitching smile. And Lord Chaitanya, seeing the Lord whom he searched for, the Lord to whom his entire heart belonged, he ran towards the temple as fast as the wind. He ran up the 22 steps, ran through the different hall, finally arrived at the darshan hall, and wanted to climb up the altar to embrace the Lord who had just called him. Fortunately, I can't comment. The Lord fell before the altar. Imagine he would have climbed the altar steps, and he would have embraced Lord Jagannath. What would have happened? The Lord would have been totally beyond all expressions of ecstasy, which we can describe in ordinary books. He would, and a volcanic eruption of loving meeting would have taken place. So the Lord fell down before this could happen, and then everything else happened. So my point here is that Lord Jagannath had revealed himself to Lord Chaitanya as the flute-bearing Syama Sundara. Now there is another devotee I would like to talk about. This devotee was a great worshipper of Lord Ram, and he lived in Varanasi. His name is Tulsidas. Tulsidas read the Valmiki Ramayan, and he came to a verse which is there in the Ramayan, is worship the form of the Lord of the Ikshvaku dynasty in Purushottam Kshetra, in Jagannath Puri. So he had read this. It was in the book of his beloved Lord, Rama. And what did he do? Well, he said, well, let's do it. And he made a pilgrimage on foot from Varanasi to Puri. That's a long, long distance. Now, as he entered the temple, the Sri Mandir, something amazing happened. He looked at the form of Lord Jagannath and he became disappointed. I am a worshipper of Lord Rama, who has such beautiful eyes. And who is this on the altar? I read in my book, I should visit, I have done it. Now I see this, I don't see my Ram. And he was so disturbed by this that he left the temple and went some 6 miles away from the temple. To one village called Malitapura. So there under a banyan tree he took his rest and fell into a confused sleep. Now, meanwhile, in the Sri Mandir, an important discussion took place. Lakshmi talked to her husband, Jagannath, and said, Jagannath, this is not good. You are very merciful. In here, it is said that your hands will never become dry because you eat 54 offerings a day. You know, he's really eating 54 offerings. Imagine 54. You are all lovers of prasadam whose ears perk up upon the mentioning of the word. Imagine you had to eat 54 meals. Ooh, that would be a little bit too much for our digestive tract. So Lakshmi said, you are the Lord and you eat so much because you want that all of your devotees who come here always get Mahaprasad. But Tulsidas has come here and left with a pain in his heart the place. He didn't even eat or didn't even drink. This is a scandal. This cannot happen. So Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, who is full of the quality of Bhakta Vatsalya, you know, he loves his devotee like a parent loves his sibling. A child, Lord Jagannath, took on the form of a Brahmin boy and went to the village where Tulsidas was crying. I've gone all this way from Banaras in good trust that I meet my Lord, but I met someone I didn't know on the altar. So Tulsidas was there really confused and really disturbed. You know, these are devotees, for they are not casual worshippers. For them it's very important to worship the Lord and see the Lord in the form in which they worship them. Ananya Bhakti, this is called exclusive devotion. So the Brahmin boy came and asked Tulsi, so what have you written in your book about the Lord? You have said the Lord is he who moves very swiftly but who has no feet. You have written that the Lord accepts everything but he doesn't have any hands. And you have written that the Lord hears everything but he doesn't have any ears. Didn't you just see me? I didn't have feet. I didn't have hands. I didn't have ears. You have written something, and then when you see me in that form, you become disturbed. You are a confused individual. Now, have your darshan. So the Tulsi could understand the point of the boy. Yes. He ran back into the Sri Mandir. And when he ran back into the Sri Mandir, whom did he see? He saw Lord Ramachandra, next to him Sita Devi, and next to him, to them, Lakshman. You know everything. He saw them on the altar with great, great wonder, with great happiness, with great ecstasy. And he understood, my Lord has appeared now in the form in which I always think of him. He made this point. My dear devotees, up to this day, the Lord is dressed in this outfit of Lord Ramachandra. And I will show you this from the distance. Normally, our Lord looks like this on the Puri altar. You have now the rare opportunity to have a rare darshan. This is, it's forbidden to make a photo, but you know our devotees. we are not so conventional, we Hare Krishna people. And here is a photo of Lord Ramachandra, but usually they paint his face green. Maybe they have not yet done it. And you see Sita Devi next to him, and then you see the monkeys on the steps, and here, and all the other personalities who helped Lord Ramachandra to regain Sita. Yes. So, there's even a bow of Lakshman. Yes. So this is the way the Lord deals with his devotees. He reveals himself. Yeya tamang prapatyante tamstataiva bhajam yaham. Or yad yad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tatat vapu pranayase sat anugrahaya. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. This is a very, very nice subject matter, and it encourages us as Krishna's devotees to think of Krishna more regularly, to cultivate our devotion to him more consciously, and you will see while you chant the holy names and you concentrate on the holy names, then the Lord will reveal himself in many, many ways. This is what was shown in the Lord's dancing at the Ratha Yatra, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu vibrated the great Sankirtan of the holy name, and while he was performing the great Sankirtan, he would play act the beautiful pastime of which took place when the inhabitants of Vrindavan took Lord Jagannath or Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan. But that is an altogether different subject, and I do not I very much want to read to you, but I want to end now my attempts to speak and give Ravindra Swarup Prabhu the mace of the speaker. Would you like to sit here for increased comfort?
No, better. Yeah? Actually, because it's okay. Higher in the back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.